Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hello, I'm Susan Violante. I'm your host for today. I'm really excited to be speaking on the phone with award-winning author Michelle Bellin, who's here to discuss the release of her newest novel, Rogue Alliance. This fiction novel tells the story of Shyla, who, trying to escape a horrific past, has immersed herself in life as a tough, sassy cop in the bustle of L.A., until the case forces her to face her past when it takes her back to her hometown. But before we start, let's learn a little bit more about Michelle. Michelle Bellin lives in the Pacific Northwest with her husband and four children. She earned her associate's degree in nursing and fills her moments of free time with her love for writing. Rogue Alliance is her most recent publication. For more information on Michelle and her books, visit www.michellebellin.com, and that is M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, B as in boy, E-L-L-O-N.com. Hi, Michelle. How are you today?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, me too. Thank you for being with us today. Just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, because it totally surprised me that you have six books out there, because you look so young on your picture. So let's just let our listeners know a little bit about you and your background.
I look young, but I'm older than I look. That's kind of just good genetics. I give that credit to my mother. I'm 36. My degree is actually in nursing. I worked as a registered nurse. But when my husband and I made the decision that I would come back into the home when we were going to have a fourth child, I did. I decided to be a stay-at-home mom for a while. And at the same time, I was also needed in the home for one of my other children who, when she was very young, long story short, she had a brain tumor. And she has some special needs, so I really wanted to homeschool her to give her a little bit extra attention with her academics. So I came back into the home for those reasons, and it was lovely. It was great to be with my kids again. But at the same time, I knew I needed something for myself, and I was trying to figure that out, how to stimulate my mind. I'm a very busy person. I like to stay busy. And in that period of time, I began to have dreams. And I would wake up and I'd think, oh, that would be a really great book. That sounds like a really great story. But then my next thought after that was, well, I don't really write, so I wonder why I'm having those dreams. But I kept dreaming them, and the characters in the dreams just kept kind of bothering me. And I thought, well, maybe I should stop doubting it. Maybe I should just try it, because what's the harm? Mm-hmm. So one day I just said, yeah, I'm going to try that. And so I thought, I have also heard that when you write, you should write what you know. So I decided that I would write something a little bit closer to my heart based on my own experiences and people in my own life. So what I did is I took some of those experiences and I wrote a fictional book, and that was actually my young adult novel, Embracing You, Embracing Me, and it won a literary award just a few months ago, the Pinnacle Book Achievement Award, so I'm very happy about that. And that's just kind of how I got started writing. I knew that you can't just write a book. You have to make time for it, which is hard when you have four children. So I just told myself, well, just try every day to write for 20 minutes. And, you know, as I think every writer will be able to identify with this, 20 minutes easily turns into 2 hours. The next thing you know, you look at the clock and you're like, oh, I have to go pick up kids now. So 6 months later, I kind of sat back and I looked at it and I thought, oh my gosh, I think I just wrote a book. So that's when I decided I really needed to learn about the industry, because even though I had a book, I had no idea what to do from that point on.
It's funny because most people that I interview, there were just dreams about being a writer, or they wrote poetry and essays when they were little, or they just had an amazing life and they just wanted to just put it all down, or you know what I mean? I mean, it's like, but you just, you know, you never thought about writing before you actually started writing.
I've toyed with the idea because I'm an avid reader. I love books, and I read many different genres, many different authors, and I'm just impressed with that ability. When I read a book, I not only appreciate the writing, I often wonder, how did they come up with these ideas and how do they synthesize the material into anything that makes sense?
And you obviously came up with the trick of it because you got 6 books afterwards.
Well, I just finished writing my 7th book and I just published my 4th. So
wow,
I'm somewhere in the middle of all that process. But I can't stop now. I mean, I love it and it's part of me and it feeds me. It's like you tap into that creative energy and it's just so, it's reviving. It makes you want to do more. It's incredible. I know that every writer that listens to that will understand that even during your dark moments when you're like, oh, I can't do this. I don't know why I'm even trying. This is super hard. You just sit there and contemplate the idea of quitting, and then you go, yeah, that's not an even option.
I know. I've been writing since I was 12 years old, and that's how I started. I started just writing thoughts on a journal and stuff like that, and then I got this idea of a story that I never really, you know, finished or did anything. It was about children and like an adventure of children growing up in the war, and they have these sci-fi things. And then from there, I just started doing other things, and then I published my major thesis, and then, you know, and one thing just took me to the other, and I started writing in Spanish and experimented with Italian, and then, you know, it's just, and in my mind, what was never in my mind was to publish. It was just like my outlet for all the ideas that I would get until I decided to publish many, 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 many years later. But it's funny that you mentioned, though, that as an author, when you wrote the book, you didn't know anything about publishing, because that's one of the biggest surprises that I got when I started helping authors. I had just the amount of authors that didn't know anything about the industry at all.
Right.
And I didn't know anything about the industry when I was writing on my own, you know, but when I decided to publish as a business analyst, that's the first thing that I thought of was to kind of learn about the industry before I even tried to publish and to make, you know, savvy decisions or whatever. So that was a surprise to me. How did you manage that? What did you do to learn more about it?
Well, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but my personality is kind of the type to just jump right in and learn as I go, and that's absolutely what I did, and boy, was I in for a surprise. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. It's been a long it's been a huge learning curve, and I'm also, as you know, anyone jumping into the industry right now is also joining it during a very tumultuous time in the industry.
Because every day is different.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I think the biggest thing I learned and that I always try to, you know, often as a writer and you start getting yourself out there, you will have other newer writers get in touch with you. I'll wake up to my Facebook or my email or whatever it is, and it's an author saying, hey, do you have any advice for me? And I don't know how other people do it, but I am very much hands-on with wanting to talk with other writers just because I had to learn this stuff the hard way, and I'm still learning it. So if I can help anyone understand the process any better, I'm all for that. So what I do is I usually will email them back. And what I always try to focus on is that, you know, it's great to write the book. Focus on writing the book. It's important. That is the art. That is your passion. But also understand the industry, because you have to know what's being expected right now, what's hot, what the agents are looking for. You have to understand how much work you're going to have to put in to marketing and promoting.
And people think that because some people do I've published articles and children's stories in a traditional way, and then I self-published my first book, my novel. But so I've been doing this since 1996. So people think that if it's a traditional way, you just write the book and then the publisher does everything. And it's not like that anymore. You don't.
No.
Most companies, unless you're somebody already with a platform that is really enticing, like a celebrity or something like that, they don't even give advances anymore.
Yes.
So so there's a lot of selling yourself that you need to do either way you go when you publish.
Exactly. What I like to tell people is you're not just trying to sell your book, you're trying to sell you, because now with the internet and social media, people want to put a name, a face to a name. They want to be able to be see that book on the shelf and go, hey, I followed their blog, or I'm their friend on Facebook, I follow their Facebook page. They want to know an author. They want to have heard their interviews. They want to have seen how they think other than just the characters that they write. It really is like that now. People want to know more about the author.
People want to have some kind of relationship with the person they're reading about. And,
absolutely.
And that is so true in everything that has to do with promoting yourself.
Right. And that's what I try to tell people is I try to tell them just about the many outlets that there are for social media, because I was like, okay, I'm supposed to promote. I went to a conference, and it was all about you have to promote yourself. And that was a lot of what I was hearing. And I thought, okay, great, that's awesome and all, but how? I don't know how. So fortunately, I sat in one of the classes, and they kind of went through a lot of it. But one of the key things was absolutely it's a must to have a website.
Yeah.
And it should be under the URL needs to be under your name or your pen name, because that's an easy way for a reader to type it in and bam, it pops up. There you are.
Yeah.
And, and then there's all the other things. There's the Twitters and the other social media sites. But then there's bloggers. I have learned to love book bloggers. It is such a symbiotic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They're excited to have you, and you're helping them too. And they're helping you. They're promoting your book. They're talking about you. They're talking about your book. And they're excited. When I reach out to a book blogger, I'm kind of hesitant. And because really I kept thinking, well, they're helping me. I mean, they might not even want to talk to me. And they're just excited. They're like, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited to talk to you. How can I help you? And it's overwhelming, the love that you get from book bloggers. So I always give big shout-outs to book bloggers. they're really helpful.
They are. They are. And most times when you reach out, they'll just open their doors, and you know, and if you keep that relationship, a lot of authors think that it's just a one-time thing.
No,
you keep this, the relationship working with them, it becomes, you know, like somebody that has, 10,000 followers, and
yep.
You know, and anytime you reach them, they'll be there for you. You know,
that's absolutely right.
I found the same thing. They're just wonderful, and I became a blogger too because I saw what they were doing and I enjoyed it, and so now I can't stop writing on my blog either. And
right.
You know, and that's what I do. It's all about getting the most interest content for your readers. You know,
yes.
And so if you become one of those.
Right, and if it's say you're on a blogger site and it's an interview, it's so much more dynamic. Now you have a conversation, and now the real you can come out. You can be, if you're funny, your humor can come out. If you're a little stuffy, well, that'll come out too. But whatever, I mean, then that's when your personality comes out, and the reader goes, oh, I understand, and they even connect to the book better that way because they understand who wrote it and where it's coming from. I always say that book blogging, using that outlet, it's like taking the concept of word of mouth to a whole other level.
Yeah. Now when you started writing, you didn't know the craft, you didn't know the industry,
right?
And you have four kids at home, one with them that might require more attention from your end, and how did you manage?
Well,
that sounds overwhelming. I just asking you the question is overwhelming me. So,
yeah, that's always the first question. I'm good at prioritizing my time. When I wake up in the morning, the day is for the children, and so that's my focus, is making sure they have the attention and they get off to school, and the little one has my attention, whether it's reading books or we going out for the day and doing things. That's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I write at night or when they're sleeping. Or in the summertime, I live in Washington where it rains a lot, so the children don't go outside much. But in the summertime, if they're outside playing and I can go take my laptop and sit out with them in the sun and write a little bit. Basically, the key is being able to see a moment and go, hey, I might be able to write for 30 minutes and grab the laptop and sit down, and hopefully the words will come.
Yeah.
But,
and not give up.
Right, exactly. And just never stop. And I think most writers will understand that if they're willing to take those opportunities, then once they really get into it, it's easier not to give up because it kind of becomes an obsession. You find yourself thinking about it in the shower or while your husband's talking to you about his day job, and you're looking at him and you're like, I'm sorry, honey, I didn't hear anything you just said.
But it sounds pretty.
I'm thinking
it sounded pretty, though.
Right. So in the beginning, I wrote more because my daughter, who's 4 now, at the time she was a baby, and she slept a lot more, and so I would help my older child with her school studies, her homeschooling, and then I would let her sit with that and do her work, and I would write while the baby slept. It's kind of a juggling act, but it worked, and I was able to do it, and I was able to feel like I was managing it all well. And now it's not so much because the 4-year-old is older and she's busier, so it's mainly a nighttime thing. And
so
I have
you adjusted to that, and that's the thing, that is not a set plan. It's something that you kind of work on it as your circumstances change, then you adapt.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. And I have to say I'm not writing as much as I'd like to because of that, but fortunately I'm lucky enough that when I do finally have some time to sit, it's usually a couple chunks, a couple of hours at one time, and I'm a fast writer, and it might not be pretty at first, but I can just really get in there and get some stuff done and worry about editing it and fixing it up later. So,
yeah.
So I'd say I'll probably write a book about every 4 months.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Michelle Bellin, author of Rogue Alliance. Stay tuned if you're interested in writing because we are going to continue this very interesting and candid conversation with Michelle about the challenges of embarking in the publishing world today and honing the craft. But in the meantime, you can check out her book, Rogue Alliance, by visiting her website at www.michellebellin.com, and that is MICHELLE, B as in boy, ELLON.com. Now, when you write, you're not even thinking about the publishing of it, you're just writing what the idea that you got and develop it, or do you go to writers group, or I mean, how
right.
take somebody, let's say there's somebody there like you that is thinking about it and knows nothing about writing and nothing about publishing, but she wants to play with the idea, and so she starts the same way you did, or he starts the same way you did. What tips will you give him for somebody like that? Let's say 5 tips so that we don't make it too long.
Well, I'd say, first of all, just really start searching on the Internet, Googling anything about, go to agents' websites, see what they're saying about what they're looking for and what the industry is, Google book bloggers, Google, you know, just do your research and learn about what's out there in the industry and what's happening. And then it is essential to get into a writer's group. It took me a while because I was nervous, anytime you're a writer. I know it sounds funny, but the idea of somebody reading your work is really paralyzing anytime.
It is disturbing. And imagine with an accent.
Yes. So it's kind of nail-biting, and you're sitting there, and you go, never mind. Don't read my work. So it took me a while, but once I did, because I had heard it was essential, now that I'm in it, in a writer's group, it is essential. I have learned that. First, you have to find one that's good for you. I started out in a local writer's group, and it wasn't the right fit. I went there, and there wasn't a lot of critique going on. I could tell right away that it was more people just doing readings,
mm-hmm.
and so I didn't see a lot of progress being made, and I thought, okay, this doesn't feel right. I need to find something that fits me more. And fortunately, I came across a great editor at a writer conference. His name's Jim Thompson. He's wonderful, wonderful editor, And he also happened to be in a small writer's group. And he said, well, you know, it's a little dry for you, but if you want, maybe you could join us. And the other writers in it are just amazing writers. I feel really lucky to be around them. I'm intimidated sometimes by the way they can write, but they're good people. And it's important to be around people that not only tell you what you need to work on, but they do it in a positive way. It is not ever okay to surround yourself with anybody that brings you down or puts you down in a negative fashion. They need to give you the critique in a healthy manner. And they also need to tell you what you're doing right. And that, it forces you to do better. It forces you to learn the craft. It first forces you to take it to another level. A lot of times when I'm writing a chapter and I know that my critique group is going to look at it in a week, I will sit there and say, I wonder what Brian's going to say about this. I got to change this right now. I know what he's going to say. You know, he's going to give me a hard time for the fact that I'm talking in a passive voice instead of active, right? So that's essential. Then I think going to writing conferences, it's invaluable. Just the networking alone that happens at a writing conference, I have met people that I'm still talking to this day, and what they've been able to offer me as far as support or just connections in the industry, just meeting incredible people. I don't know if you've had this experience, but when I go to conferences, I am overwhelmed by how kind and loving and supportive other writers are.
Yes, I actually have been in conferences, and the network that I did was not only with the writers, though. I am still in contact with PR people that I met in conferences and publishers that I met in conferences, and it's just it's wonderful. It's wonderful because even, let's say, I've met agents, not with the agents. I haven't really bonded with agents for some reason as much as small presses and publishers, traditional publishers and publicists. And the reason being is because I think that they are more open to what your needs are, and the agents are more open to what they're looking for. And even the traditional publishers, one, they are interested in knowing what you're doing, because basically you are the one that might send a trend, you know?
Right,
and
right, exactly.
So I kind of, and I kept in contact with almost everybody that I met on those conferences.
Yeah, same here. In fact, I have some incredible friendships now. I've met editors, which, you know, you go there and you walk away with so much. And I have made a few friendships with agents as well, and you learn so much from every experience there. I mean, you really have to walk into the conference feeling like a sponge and going, okay, I'm open to this. I'm ready to learn. And you do. You soak it up and you walk away understanding the industry, understanding what's the current expectations are, what the current trends are.
And that is a great attitude. I remember the first time I went, I was really intimidated by everything. And, you know, it took maybe 5 minutes, and then I'm like, forget it. I'm just going to get everything that I can out of here.
Yep.
You know? And that's exactly what people need to do. They need to go there and remember that they're there to get stuff out of it. You know, you're not there just to promote yourself. You're there to get stuff out of it.
And like I said before, other writers are very supportive. I was stunned. I thought it would be a little competitive.
Yeah.
I thought people would just be about their writing and not really into anything to do with you. No, it is not that way. People want to hear what you're doing. They want to support you. I couldn't believe the people that would just, I'd meet them, I'd talk with them, and they would just kind of cheer you along.
Yeah, and it was great also to find people that were in your same level and people that were in a different level, and see how we all meshed together, and we all were have gone or are still going through the same thing.
Right. The last conference I went to was the Pacific Northwest Writers Association, the PNWA, up in Seattle, and I was very happy. I got to participate in a book signing there, and it was huge. And I remember looking over, and there was Donald Moss, and there was Debbie McCumber signing books.
Wow.
And I'm like, I cannot believe I'm signing books. Donald Moss and Debbie McCumber right now. This is a moment. So, I mean, you definitely get exposure to all levels, like you just said, the newbies and then the people in the industry that they've made it. They're there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, very exciting.
Oh, this is great. I wanted to ask you something else, too. With all the industry changes that are there, there's many stories that are coming out from people that are amateur writers, and sometimes they don't come out with the craft being, you know, perfected, or and they probably, you know, are in a budget and they didn't get an editor for their work, and this is all mostly on the independent side of the industry. So how can what would you tell to these type of authors? How can you hone the craft? What can they do to kind of hone the craft?
I think it goes back to what I was talking to earlier, that you really have to immerse yourself in the industry in order to hone the craft. First, you have to write. You have to write all the time. And you have to know the expectation of yourself has to change. You can't just write and go look at it and go, this is great. It's perfect. I don't need to work on it at all. That's not gonna work. You have to go, okay, this is done. I wrote it. Now how can I fix it? And I think for me, it was simple things. Like, I used to be the queen of a run-on sentence. I'd look at a paragraph and go, wow, there's not a period in there anywhere. It's just one big sentence. And so I learned that actually right now what publishers and agents really appreciate is a good, clean sentence, punchy sentences. Mm-hmm. So I've really learned that's what I want to do. I want to go for that. I don't need to use too many adjectives and, you know, just go crazy with the L-Y words. I need to give us a sentence that is impacting the reader right away.
Yeah. I tell people when they ask me, how could you, you know, even think about writing, because English is my third language, and so how could you, and I'm like, well, you know, you humble yourself, because you just have to humble yourself, because if I have to write it in Spanish, which I consider my first one, my ego is bigger than my writing, you know, it's like, forget it, you know, I did all my schooling in here, I've been writing since I was 12 years old in Spanish, I love playing with vocabulary. I have the biggest vocabulary you can imagine. But then when it comes to English, my English is not that literary, you know?
I understand. Yeah.
So what type of product am I going to put out there? Am I going to shoot for the literary novel, or am I going to do something that I know I can do well?
Exactly. And I think when you first start out, at least this was for me, I wanted to use the big words to prove I could.
Yeah.
And I found that, yeah, that was fun and all, but it was kind of also a lot. It was just sometimes mixed up the sentence too much. It would kind of leave the reader going, wow, that was a lot. That was a big jumble in my mouth. If you read it out loud, it's like, that's just too much.
Yeah.
And so I've learned that it is better to kind of keep it more concise.
And then that's actually a good point, too. Who are you writing for? You know, are you writing
exactly.
for yourself, or are you writing for somebody that's looking for something to read and you need to make it real for them?
Absolutely. And I think that's the evolution of a writer. I think maybe at first you do write for yourself.
Yeah.
And you are kind of high on the, ooh, look at what I can do. This is a big word, you know. And then later you go back and you go, yeah, I'm going to cut that word. That was completely unnecessary and me showing off, and I just need to write a good sentence. And like you said, be more humble in that. And, you know, other stuff that I really still to this day am working on, which is not writing in a passive voice. Just something as simple as that. Instead of I was running, I ran. You know, and those are things you don't even think about. You just kind of write, and then you look back on it and go, it's not going to work at all. I just wrote the whole entire thing in passive voice.
Yeah.
But most people, I think, a lot of the independent writers that maybe aren't aware of those things or not immersing themselves in the industry a certain kind of way, it's not even a thought for them, and it's still maybe even a great story what they wrote. May still even be fantastic, but then you apply some of these simple things that may seem simple, but in all reality, you apply them and you look at that and you go, wow, that's a fabulous writing right there now. So it's all a matter of, do you want to write or do you want to write well, right?
Yeah.
Do you just want to write or do you want to write really well? So I think, like earlier, it's important to just get in a writer's group. If you're in a writer's group, you're going to constantly be honing those skills. There's no way around it. They're going to tell you it's going to address content. It's going to address wording. It's going to address even copy editing if you're lucky enough to be surrounded by people that understand that part of the industry. So I also really recommend there's some great websites out there where you can actually post some of your work and get critiques on it. There was one I found early on that I cannot express enough how it helped me. It's called youwriteon.com. And what you do is you submit, I think it's up to 7,000 words of your work. And once you submit it, it's on their site. But the trick is that you have to do a review. So you do a review and you get a point. And for every point, your work goes out and gets reviewed. So not only are you getting your work reviewed so you can constantly work on it, the act of reviewing other people's work really gets your mind thinking about the writing process. Cause you have
and I did find that on my critique group. You know, it helped me more than the critique that I was giving on my work. It helped me to critique others because then it would make me think about, you know, you're right. When I'm writing, I'm not thinking about the writing process.
Yeah, exactly. So I really think it's important to do something like that so you can engage your brain in a different way and you can start looking at writing in more of a critical thinking type of manner. You can look at it in a way that you don't usually look at your own work. And then later it does apply to when you're writing.
That's great. We're running out of time, unfortunately, but I do want to ask you one last question because a lot of people that are independent writers, they are writing their books based on true stuff, you know, and then we'll have the doctor that does, you know, the how-to book and the self-help people, and then there's the fiction writer. You know, how can you have credibility on fiction? I always thought that having achievements in writing and contests and all that helps a lot more the fiction writers than the nonfiction. What do you think about the contest per se, and how does it help you to get your work out there?
I was really hesitant to ever submit my work for contest. It was a very intimidating concept. But then I realized that it was something, again, something that I should just try. I mean, you're not going to succeed in this if you don't just constantly try everything. So I started submitting to different contests, and I usually tried to pick ones that offered a critique. Whether or not you won anything or not, they at least would send a critique, because when you're learning from it, I really recommend those ones. But then I think the other thing is that if you do actually hone your craft enough and you finally get that, you win an award, that is something you can put behind your name forever. It was a big day when I got the Pinnacle Book Achievement Award, because I could go on my website and I could go on my bio and I could say award-winning author.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing. I think it's on every writer's bucket list. Yeah.
It is. And, you know, I submitted my, I don't know how many contests, and the first book that I self-published had a lot of flaws, and then I had to do a revised one. And then again, it was my accent coming through and the editor of the publisher. It was just the learning process of the independent publisher. And
yeah.
So, but the last one it got honorable mention, and I put that everywhere.
Absolutely.
I put that everywhere.
And I think that might be one of the toughest things for writers. Is I am like this, and I've seen other writers like this. They don't like to promote themselves. They don't like to talk about their books. When somebody finds you out you've written something, and they ask you about it, it's kind of like a deer in headlights, and you kind of freeze. Mm-hmm. And you're just, never mind, don't worry about it. You probably wouldn't like it. You really have to embrace what you've done, what you've accomplished, what your passion is. And you have to promote yourself. You have to be proud of that work. So when you make these goals, when you win your awards, when you have accolades, you have to really embrace them and say, yeah, you know what, I did this, and I'm really proud of it.
And there's always ways to do it that it's not so conspicuous. Oh, I can't, there's my accent coming out. Conspicuous. You know, and for example, with the book, you know, the book was already out when I got it, so how am I going to start telling everybody on my book signings? No, I just created stickers. You know, and you just put them in your book signings, and you put it in the website. It's not, you know, and little by little, it'll get you a little bit more comfortable. And it's actually, some of those things are even conversation starters. Because,
exactly.
You know, and you know, now I can't stop talking about it. So.
Right. Well, I mean, I won the award a few months ago, and that was for my YA. But it actually comes up more often right now as I'm trying to promote my newest release, Rogue Alliance, which is a crime suspense. And it comes up because I can put that with it, award-winning author of, and then it goes,
exactly.
It's a tag on Rogue Alliance. Mm-hmm. So it helps you with everything from that point on.
And I want to tell our, you know, your conversation was so interesting. I want to make sure that I mention your website and get more information about your book, Rogue Alliance. And it is www.michellebellon.com, and that is M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, B as in boy, E-L-L-O-N.com. I encourage everybody to check it out, and, you know, she's open to contacting, you know, her for advice. So.
Yeah, that's right. I've got a contact form on my website.
Yeah, so where can people find your book before we go, Michelle?
It's in a paperback on Amazon, but I think most people are downloading it as on their Kindle on Amazon. It's on Kobo and Smashwords. We're hoping to get it on the Nook soon, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen because of the new Barnes & Noble just announced that they weren't going to produce anything else that was on Amazon. I don't know what's happening with all that.
Oh, there
were,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Another thing, and yet another wheel in the spoke for the industry. But, yeah, it's on almost all ebook formats. So if you Google my name or you Google Rogue Alliance, it'll come up. But I think it's a lot easier. It's pretty easy for people to go to Amazon and find it.
Great. And thank you so much for being with us. We unfortunately have run out of time. Any last words you want to tell those aspiring writers?
Just don't quit. I mean, you have to understand your passion and feed that passion, but you also have to understand the work that it's going to take to get your book into the hands of readers, if that's your goal. If you're writing, just write, great. But understand the industry and then just keep going. All the things that you're afraid of doing, do it anyway, and that's going to be the learning process. That's how you're going to get over the big hump, if you will, because that's kind of where I'm at. I'm just trudging up a hill. I'll get there sooner or later, you know?
Well said. Well said. Thank you again for being with us. And to our listeners, thank you so much for being with Inside Scoop Live. And until next time.